Shotty, what's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
How far are you?
How far am I what?
I thought you were coming to do the podcast.
No, I have to work. I said, shit, I have to work. Sorry. Or, shit, I have to work. Damn.
What the hell? Did you see us? Did you see that he was coming, Pete?
I said he didn't. I thought he didn't have to work and he was on his way.
No, I said, shit, I have to work. Damn, or something like that.
Oh, great. So you're just as useful as Travis today is what you're saying.
Oh, hey, if you want to do it later tonight, I'm all open, but.
No, we got to do it right now.
Yeah, we're like literally all set up
right
now.
We're set up. We've got a nameplate at your spot.
Oh.
Yeah, like a fucking mayoral candidate, man.
Oh,
like
I'm
a township
gentlemen.
Board meeting. It says Kyle Moore.
The red carpet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm actually in a living room painting right now.
You can't be surprised that Travis bailed on us, though. He's kind of an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little bit of an asshole. Actually, he's a wide-bodied asshole, but yeah, I mean.
Well, we'll know this, Kyle. You were our number one pick.
Oh, I appreciate that. I always do, and you guys know that I would drop everything if I had to, but I went to a
but
toy
you're
show
not
yesterday.
Going to. You'd drop everything if you had to, but you're not going to.
I had to go to a toy show yesterday, so I had to readjust my schedule to work on a Sunday, if you can believe that. So.
Well, you had to work on a Saturday because Jason rearranged his schedule to be there yesterday, but not be there at all. There is nothing more epic than that picture that you sent us of the entire arena of the toy show being completely deserted except for Jason's shit. It was so good. And poor Eric Brink is standing there like, I fucking hate this guy.
Well, I had taken, because we were waiting for Amanda to bring the van back. Jason had to switch the cars. That's why he was gone earlier yesterday morning. For 2 hours to go get the van swapped out and for his wife. And so we were waiting for her to bring the van back so we could load the cage and all of his stuff in there. So I actually got all my stuff loaded, took all my stuff to my storage unit, unloaded it, and then came back. And by the time I got back, they had gotten, the van had gotten there, and they were loading the cage up. And that was when I walked in the door and saw them in that room.
That was hilarious. Too good.
So that goes right along with the picture I sent at the Grand Rapids Comic Con where Gary had been there all day.
Right.
Since 1 o'clock, and he had the cage built all ready to go. And then the same picture I showed where I was just my cart in an empty booth since 1 o'clock.
Jesus.
All right. Well, have fun painting today, man. We got to call around and see if we can't get somebody to fill this this chair. Hopefully, that keeps their clothes on.
Yeah. Now we're not trying to replace Travis. We're trying to replace you. Thanks a lot.
Oh well, I appreciate that, and I apologize. But if it makes you feel any better, the house is empty, so I am naked.
Nice.
All right,
we appreciate that.
Okay.
See you all right. See ya.
Okay, guys. Bye. Have a great show. Bye.
Bye. But for those of you listening at home, we knew Kyle wasn't coming. We're just messing with him.
And he has no idea that he was actually just on the podcast right now. So
we're just calling people. So on to the next, huh? Who should we call next, Pete?
I'd go Justin next.
Let's try to get Justin on the phone here.
Fill you guys in. Travis bailed out on the last minute today because one of his longtime good friends, the infamous Jason, that we've referenced more than once on the show, not Boonstra. He's not a toy guy, but he always comes first in Travis's life. Travis needed to help him build a deck before the snow really got going at Travis's house. And by that, I mean, Travis is going to be in the basement playing He-Man Tappers of Grayskull and watching the Lions game while Jason's slaving away building a deck.
I totally didn't get that. I can't go because Jason's going to come over and build my deck. Like, Travis ain't going to do shit.
He's not going
to
do
he
shit.
He doesn't need to be there.
He may shit while Jason's there, but he won't do shit to assist and or help. And realistically, Jason doesn't want him to. Because he's just gonna fuck things up, so
absolutely. All right, let's see if Justin will answer here. Last two times I've called him, he doesn't answer.
He's been screening his phone calls.
Yeah, he must be. All right, come on, Justin.
Hey, this is Justin. Just leave a message, and I'll get back to you when I can. Have a great day.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Justin, it's Pete, man. I got Steve's phone. We're calling. We thought you said you were on your way for the podcast. We're all set up. Give us a shout, man. We're ready to go. We want to know how far out you were. Yeah, give us a shout, man. Call Steve's phone, though. Mine's dead. So, all right, man. Give us a call.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording where you left off, press 4.
Okay. I had a hard time ending that call. My phone went dark.
Freaking Justin.
Yeah, what the hell? Maybe he goes to church. I think he goes to church.
Yeah, he might go to church. So I shouldn't have said what the hell, then I should have said what the heck.
Oh, yeah, that would have made a difference. Who else are we going to call? We got anybody
else? He went to gosh darn church.
Who else?
Well, Boonstra, we know, doesn't get down on this. Travis isn't available. I made it abundantly clear when I talked about replacement hosts that Joe Crazy Bill was not to be on that list, so we can't call him.
It would be fun to call Joe, though. He's probably working. Yeah. No, he's not working, is he?
I don't know. Second shift. Well, it's Sunday, so. Yeah.
All right. Let's see if Bill will
answer. All right, one last chance.
One last chance for Bill?
Yeah, we'll see if we'll get somebody in here. If not, I guess we'll just roll it without him. So, in case you haven't picked up on it yet, Travis is an asshole and left us hanging today. So, left us hanging like Michael Hutchins from INXS.
I bet you he's under.
He's under Joe Crazy Bill in my phone.
Is he?
Yeah.
He is not mine. He's under. Where the hell? There he is.
The other thing, if you guys haven't picked up on, Steve struggles with the use of his phone. So
your call has been forwarded to an automated voicemail.
The ultimate slight. All right. We're going to have to try to find somebody.
Hey!
What's up, guys? How's
going? Chris Middlecamp, what's going on, man?
Hey. All right, we got Chris joining the show. So
awesome.
We have 3 people. We can start the show. Here we go.
Roll it.
Welcome, everybody, to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast, the podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us, toy collecting. That's right, we're a group of grown men who love collecting toys and found a way to trick the opposite sex into having real-life relationships with us, sometimes even resulting in children. So this is where we come to talk about all the immature things we love and how it affects our lives in general, as husbands, fathers, and even at the workplace. Now go find a good hiding spot to listen to the latest edition of this podcast, because if your wife, girlfriend, or even your mom finds out, she may just want to kill you. All right, everybody, welcome back to episode 53 of the My Wife's Gonna Kill Me podcast. It's a special day. We have a special guest on our show. The one and only Chris Middlecamp, the man behind Von Creep Customs, has joined us to save the day when Travis had to stand there and watch his buddy build a deck.
Yeah.
That's about it. So, we're going anyways. Travis said, go without me, guys. Leave me behind. Like he was wounded in a freaking fight, like in the beaches of Normandy.
When in actuality, he would be the one running and leaving everybody else behind.
Yeah. But we're going to have a good show. So, how you doing, Chris?
Oh, pretty good. You know, you caught me out. I was actually hunting.
You were hunting. That is. You were toy hunting. What are you hunting
for? I was looking for the Scarif. The Scarif Trooper, Walmart exclusive.
Yeah.
I gotta look that up while you guys are talking about it. I can't even picture what that looks like.
The Scarif Trooper is badass.
Well, it was actually on the cover of the ad, so you know I thought they'd have it.
Yeah. And it was.
I pre looked it up on the webpage. It gives you local like zip codes and it said it was in stock. I got there and they had none.
Yeah, and you didn't go to the closest Walmart. That was like you
went. They didn't even show up on the in stock list, so
And Walmart sucks.
They do.
They're always hard to get everything at. I don't know. You find a Scarif Trooper yet?
I don't think so.
So Scarif's the name of the planet, isn't it?
It's the, like, the beach, I think, or something like that. I don't think it's the planet name. It might be. I don't know.
That's what I gathered was that the troopers on the planet Scarif, yeah. But I could be wrong. So I'm so pumped. What are we, like, a week and a half out of that movie right now?
About that.
Maybe, or, well, it's, it's Sunday as we record, so. Yeah, we're a little under 2 weeks.
Yeah, because we're going on the 16th, right?
15th, actually. 15th. Okay. It opens on the 16th, but for some reason you can see it on the 15th. They did the same thing with Force Awakens.
So then it opens on the 15th.
Really, yeah, okay. Technically.
And that's the night we're going. That's Thursday night.
Yes.
Because the 16th is the toy party.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That should be a friggin' riot,
You can't go. That's.
I'm working that night, so I'm going to probably go Friday beforehand, so when everyone doesn't spoil the whole fucking movie for me.
All right, Pete, what's going on with you?
Pretty good. Actually, coming off of the Grand Rapids Toy Show yesterday, Grand Rapids, Gazan Parkway there at the homeschool building. Does not look the same as it once did because they built a ginormous chiropractic facility on the corner now. So, yeah. Like, we literally drove right by it.
We did.
So, it was fun. It was my first time, like, with my own table, like, selling my own stuff, which was a lot of fun. And I did well money-wise and enjoyed myself. And so it was good. It was kind of funny. They did a kind of an impromptu auction, toy auction. They had an actual auctioneer there. And I had the 6-inch Legends cap shield that I threw in the mix. And, I mean, I paid.
It's not a 6-inch scale shield. It's the 1-to-1 ratio.
Right, but it's the 6-inch. It's from the Legends wave, isn't that?
It's part of the Legends line, but I just want the listeners to realize.
Yes.
It's the
full size shield. Yes. Sorry about that. I misspoke that. That makes sense. So
Marvel's calling everything Legends lately.
Yes. Yep. And I threw it in the mix. I put a reserve of 65 on it, which is actually a little bit less than I paid for it through my distribution. But right now you can get them everywhere for like $50 or $60. Because they're Black Friday sales and Amazon and stuff. So they dropped in price pretty quickly. So I threw a reserve of 65 on it. I threw it out in the auction there, and they announced my name overhead. Me and Ben Talmadge, actually.
What did Ben put in the auction?
It was a gumball machine of some type.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. $75 for it. So
nice.
So I go over there to get my money, and they took 10%, which I didn't care. I knew going into it, I wanted to sell it. So, and the auctioneer grabs me, goes, "Hey, man," he goes, "I accidentally sold that shield for $45.
And you had a reserve.
And I had it. And he's like, "I totally screwed it up." So he goes, "We paid the $20 difference, so got to the 65 reserve, and then just took the 10% off from that." So, I mean, I made $59.50 or whatever, and I told him to keep the quarters. I didn't want them. So I ended up selling it for, I made $59 on it, which means I lost $13 on it, I think. But it is what it is. It's gone now. That money's back in to be able to buy more stuff with. And, you know, every now and again, you got to take a loss. So, but it was just kind of funny that they're like, "Hey, yeah, we had like 40 auction items, and yours was the one that we made a mistake on." So,
right.
But then again, it might not have sold at the 65 had it gotten to that. So, either way, it's gone, and they have to take it back. But
so, Chris is feverishly trying to get batteries open for one of the thanks UPS guy things items we're going to talk about today. What's going on there? Are they glued together?
They are like triple wrapped in this thing.
I mean, he's got a knife, and he's still fighting to get into
these.
Three
of these plastic wraps around it.
there's one battery.
Two. Just need one more.
Oh, be careful! You touch our
table.
Did you
know no matter what you do, like they can't, like you can't pay extra. There's no for batteries that have to go by ground. They cannot fly batteries.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I just ran it here with the shop with the 18650 batteries for, you know, for the people's mods, their e-cigs and stuff. They have to come by ground. So, like, I place a big order through my vapor distribution, and I get two shipments. One comes, like, 2 days. The other comes a week later with the batteries in it. So
wow, that's weird.
But the same thing too with AED batteries, the external defibrillator batteries for the fire department. They take forever to get here because they have to come by truck because they can't put them on an airplane. So
you learn everything here at the My Wife's Gonna Kill Me podcast.
There's useless knowledge for you. You're welcome. There's also 187 ridges on a dime, and you can drink your own urine 7 times before it kills you. So you're welcome.
All right.
How'd the show go for you, man? You'd set your art booth up. It looked nice.
Yeah. It was, like I said, it was not the show to expect to sell a lot of art at, but I got the feeling that it was still worth it. Until now, every time I've tried to sell my prints, I have just hung them up on a rack or in a corner of Travis's booth, and no one knows where they came from or what they are, and they walk by them, and most people don't even see them. I just see their eyes just blast right past them. This time I had a table. I was sitting behind it like I was a big deal. I had prints that I had made put up in frames, and they were sitting on the corners on easels and my tables, and I had a backdrop behind me with all my prints hanging, and people saw them. That's one thing, you know, that was cool. I wanted to see if that would happen. People walked by, and they looked at them, and they looked at me, and they knew what was going on. And I didn't sell a ton. I said, well, for that show, let's put it this way. I sold more at that show than I did at the Grand Rapids Comic Con when they're hanging up in Travis's booth.
And people come to Grand Rapids Comic Con to buy prints?
Some people do,
and
yeah.
They didn't. There was, you were the only one yesterday that had prints.
I was the only one.
So.
And, yeah, so I didn't sell a lot by any means, but I had conversations. People would stop and ask me questions and everything else. So I knew that I was getting at least, I wasn't invisible anymore, which was what I was hoping for. So I say it's a win-win, or it's a win for me because, you know, I'm going to be at these, eventually I will be at true Comic-Cons set up like this, and hopefully it'll work out as I'm hoping it works out. So
he couldn't wait. Okay,
he could not wait. Look at this, Pete. Okay, if you break that, you're buying it back. That is the coolest. We got to get a picture of this. Pete has put. I bought yesterday from Pete. The Marvel Legends 1-to-1 scale Iron Man helmet. Okay, and Pete has been hoping to put this on. He wanted to put on. Joe Crazy Bills, but Joe was a little bit nervous at the time because it was Joe's brand new helmet. We talked about that. And so now he's got to put on mine.
Okay, I'm worried.
He's stuck. He's got his head in it.
Are your eyes even like through those holes?
My eyes are right here.
His eyes are where the nose should be.
Can you at least take the face off?
Chris is going to try to help him. It's a magnet. Joe Crazy Bills, it was a magnet. The face. But pull the chin out. Grab a hold of the bottom of that chin.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I am so sorry. That was totally unintentional. Like, there was a little bit of a panic moment there just now. Because, like, I couldn't. That was weird. Okay. Now that I know how. Okay. So. Okay. All right.
That was funny as hell.
Okay.
We wish we had that on video.
All right,
well,
let's...
Okay. Whoa, whoa!
Okay, all right.
No, he's good. I'm not really worried about it. It's going to be fine.
Be great.
Okay.
Okay, so now, when I had Bill's... Pete, look, before you do that. Okay. When I had Bill's, the chin pulled away to give you more room to slip it over your head.
Okay,
so now he's pulling on the chin piece. There's an extended thing. And now you can shove the chin kind of back up where it should be, sort of.
And Pete, that's better. Okay. All right.
All right. You got to hand me your phone. Hand me your phone. I want to take a picture of this, and my phone's camera is broke.
He's
got it. So, I'm got to get a picture of Pete. No, here's Pete. All right.
I was freaking out, Chris. Like, I was, like, there was literally a few seconds where, like, I was not doing okay.
So. Like a cat that stuck his head in a Pringle can or something.
Yeah. Right. I was worried, so.
Now Pete's putting the faceplate sort of on. It kind of has to go up a little bit more. There you go, sort of in there.
So I cannot see out the eye holes. I can actually see the eye holes now, though.
You can. You're closer.
Yeah, because I couldn't before. It was pitch black in here. And like all I could smell was my own breath.
How was that?
It was concerning. So it's cool, man. It's not designed for... My big fat head.
Yeah.
But And I originally thought that I wanted to buy this because I was gonna try and make love to the wife in it, and that will not be possible, I don't think. So
your neck is so big, coming out the bottom of that chin. Coming out, it's really, it's awesome.
I have a 23 and a half inch neck, so it's good for Robert Downey Jr. But yeah, that's not for me. So,
that was impromptu.
It was, yeah. I wasn't intending to have like a freak out. I had a claustrophobic moment.
The helmet is sitting.
Okay, it's on my head.
The helmet is sitting here on the table, and Pete has been clamoring to get this thing on his head. He kind of got excited like a little boy when I brought it in. I said, "You're going to be able to put this on." And he just kind of reaches over like that person that sees the wet paint sign, but they got to touch it anyways. They got to touch the wall even though it says – I'm talking about selling art, and he just reaches over and starts putting this thing on his head.
Yeah.
And it was totally like when Winnie the Pooh went through the hole in the wall and got too fat and you couldn't get him out. That was kind of a panicked
– yeah.
Expression. That was my phone going off. I got a text. I'm leaving it plugged in because, as you heard, Justin may call back, and that would be kind of funny.
That would just be kind of fun. Just kind of
screw with him a little bit.
So,
so anyways, mission accomplished as far as the art booth was concerned for me. I can't wait to actually try this at a real Comic-Con and see how it goes.
Did you end up getting any commission work?
I got inquiries on a commission, or a couple of them, actually. You know, who knows? They took my information. I got to get business cards. I'm a hack at this point. I don't know how I did that, but that was cool.
It makes it when you hook it in, that when it makes the connection.
Oh, his eyes are light up and everything.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh yeah.
I didn't put this back in. So
okay. I'm playing with my Iron Man helmet again. It started making noise at me that I didn't expect and made me excited like a little boy. So, you know,
I got a sneaky suspicion, though, that your head's not going to fit much better than mine did.
Actually, I had Bill's on.
Is Bill's maybe like an XL?
No.
That's a 6-inch scale. Maybe his was a 12-inch scale.
No, so. I don't fit in there comfortably, for sure, but it did... I was walking around with the helmet because the faceplate comes off and there's magnets on the top, so you can set it on the top so the faceplate looks like it does when it opens up on Robert Downey Jr. And I was walking around for like an hour with it on at Comic-Con.
Oh, really?
Like that. With the faceplate down, it's very claustrophobic. It's pressed up against my nose. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But.
So, sorry, honey. You don't get to make love to Iron Man tonight.
I think it'd be actually funnier.
But Courtney's in. But Courtney's in for a treat.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I won't be able to put it on for her either. So I don't know what you mean by that. If I'm not going to wear it for a man, I can't wear it for Courtney.
You'll figure it out, Pete.
Okay.
Just keep thinking. So, Chris, you got anything to tell us? Anything good for you? How you doing? You getting some commission work? You building dioramas? What's going on?
Yeah, I've done a few dioramas, a few commissions. Few figures. I've got like 5 on my table right now.
Really?
Yeah.
But nice.
I have to get the other things done because Christmas is coming up.
I tell you what, I could not have been happier. You could not have been happier with Vernetta's reaction to the Thor commission. For those of you guys that didn't see the video, it was on our Facebook page. He actually did a Thor into a Clay Matthews, which Vernetta, we all know Vernetta's a huge Packers fan. She loves Clay Matthews. And she, it was, her reaction like made it all worth it. Like she was so stoked about it. It was absolutely awesome. So
that was the best part.
I mean,
that's why you do art, to get people's reactions like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And that's true. I mean, even though, like I said, I didn't sell much yesterday, people stopping and looking at it and saying, oh, that's really cool. That's enough.
Yeah.
Really.
Yep.
And yeah, so that's cool. I can't wait to see some more stuff that you've got coming.
Well, I can't imagine that Travis isn't going to need at least 6 more. Considering, I mean, all the different setups he's done on the diorama he has now. I mean, just absolutely awesome. You know, and every time you turn around, you're gonna end up doing some Mythic Legion shit. I guarantee you that.
Well, that was all learning curve. So I plan on going like double the size, bigger, better, right. More detail. So now that I'm kind of piecing together how to do it.
Because you haven't been doing this stuff very long.
No, that was my second one that I did.
But I mean, customs in general.
It was absolutely awesome.
I mean, I've always wanted to, but I think you were a big part of like actually picking your brain for information. Yeah. How to get started, because, yeah, I've collected for a long time, but it's something I've wanted to do, but I didn't really know how to. And I know that you did that same thing with Bill.
Right, yeah.
So I think that's where a lot of the info came from.
A lot of the info came from Bill.
Well, I wouldn't even, you know, like, I always get ideas about, I'm always saying weird shit to you guys about what customs would be fun and stuff, and I wouldn't even know like what kind of paint to buy.
That's,
you know, what kind of
brushes.
Yeah. What, I mean, none of the, I mean, that is all totally foreign to me. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah, and it's fun to do. I haven't had time or made time to do any custom work since I started drawing like crazy, but it is fun. I mean, I'm sure I'll get back to it sometime, but.
You'll be able to see both of these artists, both Chris Middlecamp and Steve Bisciotti, at MuskegonCon coming up March 18th of 2017 in Muskegon. So it's going to be sweet.
Where did the name Von Creep Customs come from? Is that something you just came up with, or is it got
some? I made a character for like MMOs. His name is Vincent Von Creep.
Oh, okay.
So I just took that.
Ah.
Von Creep.
What, can you delve into that? I'm not sure what MMOs, I don't know
like
what that is.
Like any online game. That's like my character avatar.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense. Well, like how I always call myself Big Fat Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, great. On a side
How note, did he not make the list of people to replace Travis? Like, he's already been more fun than Travis.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I apologize you didn't make that list. You deserve to be on there.
There was a list?
Yeah, last podcast I did a listener asked the question of, if you had to replace somebody on the podcast, Pete, who would it be, and who would they replace? So
right, there's a couple people that didn't make that list. They're a little butthurt.
yeah, Joe Crazy Bill. He made it all of 8 minutes yesterday before he said something to me about it. So,
so on a side note, the show, like I said, that show is, it's so funny how it's. We just talked about Circus Maximus in Kalamazoo, and now the Grand Rapids Toy Show, which is they're the same type of toy show. The Grand Rapids one's a little smaller than the Kalamazoo one. Still a lot of older people, and it's not that much of a moneymaker for people like us that sell the type of modern collectible action figure type stuff. What's that?
That's my fantasy football alert.
Oh, that's
apparently Devontae Parker will be active against the Ravens
that's
today.
Great. That's important.
It's not important because I don't have Devontae Parker on either of my teams. So,
well, so anyways, but I love. I was telling Pete on the way home last night because I rode with him. I love this show. It feels like Christmas now. It's kind of a Christmas. Tradition to go to this thing, and they play Christmas music at it. I'm a sucker for that. I know a lot of people are hate that. There's people at work that get mad at me because I turn the radio to the Christmas station after Thanksgiving, and they get in the truck, and they're all ticked off. But I love that stuff. I want to hear jingle bells on the speaker at the Grand Rapids Toy Show. I like it if the weather's a little worse because then you're a little – it feels cozy in there.
It gets a little bit warmer. The body odor gets cranked up a little bit, which is always good.
But –
And you know what's really funny about that? Totally to hijack what you're saying right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
When I tell Amanda, you know, hey, we got a show this weekend, and I'll tell her that show. Well, which one is that? And I go, that's the stinky one. Oh, okay. Because that was the first show she came to, and it's just like she literally walked in and she's like, why does everything smell like BO? I'm like, honey, have you looked at some of these fat nerds? Because it was because they do this show twice a year, right? This
yes. Well,
The one in the spring it was the one that she was at. So it was a little bit warmer. Everybody's a little bit more gamey.
Yeah.
And, so it's funny. That's how she knows the show is.
I'll never forget one of the earlier shows that we did. Pete was there. That's the one where you said that you had to go. You saw a guy over there. We're like, look at that guy. He was weird looking. I can't remember what exactly why, but and you were like, I got to go smell that guy. You remember that? You walked over there.
Yeah. He just looked. He looked like he smelled.
He looked like he smelled, and Pete wanted to breathe it in.
I wanted to confirm. So,
but we had some good scores there.
We did.
We usually buy from our friends.
Yeah.
There's a group, and I don't know if most of the sales are made from vendor to vendor.
There's a lot of vendor to vendor action there.
Because
it's really kind of a big incestuous orgy.
It kind of is. So. Let's get on to it.
Thanks, UPS guy.
Pete, take it away.
Pretty excited. I picked up the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Secret of the Ooze, the second movie from 91, Walmart exclusive Ninja Turtles, 6-inch scale, I would say, correct?
6 or 7, I think.
Yeah.
It's probably a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I'm super excited. They're the ones that come. They each come with, you know, 3 extra heads. A lot of fun accessories. I plan on doing kind of a full review of these on video where you can see them. But I'm opening up Donatello right now. I want to pop them out. Obviously, all the turtles themselves are going to articulate this. Are going to articulate the same. And but again, the weaponry and the creativity behind the accessories they gave these are pretty cool. And to share a fun little story about how I acquired these, I saw a gentleman had them, another vendor. So I had approached him and we talked price a little bit. And I said, okay, well, cool, man. I appreciate it. I'll be back around. I said, I'm vending just around the corner, so I'll be here all day. And he goes, oh, you're a vendor. And I said, yeah. And he said, okay. He goes, well, I'd be interested in doing a trade deal. I said, yeah, always, man. He goes, well, I'll come down and take a look. I said, okay, cool. So he ended up cruising down. And Travis... Steve Travis and I had 4 tables total. Steve had one on the end, I had one on the other end, and then Travis had 2 in the middle. Well, Travis had put a rack up kind of as a divider between his booth and my booth and gave me the back side of those shelves to use so we could kind of both use them. So again, I appreciate that from Travis. Well, he walks up, he's looking around, and there's nothing that really catches his eye right out of the gate, which kind of bummed me out because I had a couple of... higher dollar play arts that I was kind of hoping to move, and I thought that'd be a pretty good trade. And so he bends down and picks up a DC Direct Robin action figure, and he goes, hey, how about this and throw in some cash? And I said, yeah, for sure, man, let's do that. So I gave him the cash, and I said, I'll be down to grab the turtles. And he walked away. He was happy. I was happy. Then I had to go to Travis and say, hey, man, I just traded your DC Direct Robin to a guy for some toys for me. I need to know how much you got to have for it. So I totally traded one of Travis's toys for it. And I did pay Travis. And obviously, Travis threw me a little bit of a bone on the price that he had on there. So I ended up, you know, I got full trade value for the retail price, but I didn't have to pay the full retail price, which is always a bonus. So. Like I said, of course, I picked up Donatello to open first because he's my favorite, as you all know. He has his bow staff. He has a broom, a wiffle ball bat, and then, of course, 3 heads.
Can you talk about how bent that shit is?
It's bent to hell. It's all of these tools are about as straight as Elton John. So...
Were yours in that condition as well when you got
it? I didn't open them.
Oh, you haven't opened yours.
Mine are still in the box. Oh,
I just lost a foot.
It'll pop back on.
So, but again, I was super excited about these. One of the when you talk to guys about action figures, when it comes to turtles, for one, brightly colored, kind of hokey. I mean, there's no. When it comes to action figures, they're looked down upon because of kind of their lack of articulation. Turtles have always been more of a kid's toy than an adult collector toy. I've always collected them because of that nostalgia aspect. What they've done with these turtles is they have just souped up the articulation. And again, I'm not the poser that Steven is. I'm going to hand it to him and let him play with it. But they're up in their game, and they're giving the adult collector something to look forward to and something to pick up. They retail for $19.99, so they're the same as a Marvel Legend. They have more accessories than a lot of the Marvel Legends. The multiple heads is very cool, so you can kind of change their expression. If you think back to, you know, the Ninja Turtles have always been, they're the exact same body and they each have their own head. One has two open sides of the mouth, one has a left, one has a right, and then one kind of has a scowl. And that's kind of how they've always been. Well, this way you can mix them up. But they're going to look absolutely great up on the shelf, you know, as the four of them. So it's really cool to get into some more posability for the turtles than them just standing there, which is what Ninja Turtles have always done, is just stood there. So,
well, these are great.
What's your thoughts, man? Hit me.
I like them. These, you know, I actually ran into it. Barnes & Noble actually has the SH Fig Arts on the shelf.
The turtles?
Turtles. Yeah.
Oh shit! What do you remember? What they got in price on them?
Yeah, too much.
I think they're always typically five higher than.
Yeah, it seems like I remember me and Travis. I don't remember exactly. I remember me and Travis being like, oh, "I ain't paying that for them."
Don't they run a lot of sales though? I thought Barnes & Noble, like their figures, they usually have like a big sales.
They might.
Could be
they
one did. Of those things where they always kind of jack up the bottom because they know people are.
Yeah.
And now, do you? I don't. Since I've gone electronic on my actual novels, I don't buy books anymore. Mm-hmm. And since I'm a comic book rep, I get all my trades that way. I don't shop there anymore. But I've been a member of Barnes & Noble for probably a decade. And that membership pays for itself tenfold every year the way I read. Do you get any discounts off of toys? Do you guys know?
I have no idea.
Because I never tried to buy any. So.
Huh. No, I don't know. But I will say, I think I like this better than the SH Fig Arts I saw.
Oh, really?
Just the look of it. SH Fig Arts are, I mean, these are modeled after Secret of the Ooze, right?
Yes.
The second movie.
Secret of the Ooze. Which is the one that we all know and love. Toka, Rezar, you know. Go, Ninja! Go, Ninja! Go! You know,
that was Vanilla Ice. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Loving it. Every minute of it.
Drop the zero
and get with the hero. Cold as ice.
I really like these. Good up and down shoulder articulation. Head turns up and down. Goes down way more farther than it goes up. Left and right swivel, just fine. Swivels at the bicep, where the bicep meets the shoulder. Pretty good elbow articulation. It's got like a double joint in there. He goes back almost to the point where he could almost touch his deltoid. Has... Actually,
thumb
articulation, just this one. No, you can actually open up his thumb or clinch it down as though you were going to hold on. You can actually make it so that he could hold a quarter by bending his finger in and his thumb down. That's pretty impressive. And then both of his fingers are independently articulated. Wrist swivel. Does not have wrist, I don't know what you call that, like hinge, like to, I don't know, flop your wrist up and down, I don't know.
Steve, look at this head.
Look at that head.
That's like acid tripped on a tello.
That is acid tripped on a tello.
Its eyes are just crazy.
That's just a bad paint job, isn't
it? Yeah, I think so. Looks like Steve Buscemi and Mr. Deeds. Oreos and peanut butter cups. You know me all too well, Deeds.
He swivels just below the pectorals. He has a swivel and kind of a crunch. And then legs come forward. They won't come straight forward due to the shape of his shell. But he can get into pretty good splits, to be honest. Not quite the splits, but he has a swivel. Then that's at the hip. Then he has a swivel just below the hip. In the middle, mid-thigh, which actually that articulation point isn't that ugly as it probably would sound. He's got double hinges at the knee, and he has a hinge at the ankle, and each toe is also independently articulated. Tons of articulation in here. Okay, now, all that articulation, and I don't think they gave him ankle rocker. I think they gave... Well, check it out, Chris.
No, it's not. Up and down, that's it.
Yeah, and I think that sucks.
Oh, wait.
They twist. They twist left and right, but they don't rock, which is hard for getting figures to stand in dynamic poses sometimes. It's kind of a hindrance.
Playmates hasn't discovered that technology yet.
But yet they made his thumb super articulated.
Right.
But overall, I like this figure. If I were to pick, I don't know What do you think's better, that one that Michelangelo that Gary Rickelman sent you, or one of these? They're damn close, actually.
Well, you know what? It's here. Let's do a straight up comparison.
All right, Pete's gonna go get,
because that's gear on display in my shop, Gary. Because it's awesome. Again, thank you.
It is awesome. That's why I was like, okay, if I was gonna put this up against another Turtle toy, that would be the one, because that's the only one that can give it a run for its money, in my opinion. All right, I've now got the Gary Rickelman Michelangelo right off the bat. I mean, obviously, one's based after the movie. This is based after much more of a cartoony look. I don't know if it's the cartoon, actually, or if it's just, I don't know what it's actually based on.
It was 2006, I want to say, those came out. Travis and I looked it up the other day, because I thought that was one of the Walmart ones.
Like the first, they did a previous wave of these of the first movie.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. But they reboxed them with different accessories. I don't know if they're the same sculpts. The heads might be different.
Okay, so this is much the same articulation. It even does have the really great thumb articulation. Hmm. And lack of an ankle rocker. I guess it comes down to, do you like, to what you like. If you had to pick between these, do you want movie light look or more cartoon? That's, I guess, the only thing, because they're both excellent. Now, does the Michelangelo version of the movie ones come with real chains on his nunchucks? Because that's pretty cool. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, it does?
Yep.
Real chains on his nunchucks?
Yep, those chains are the salami ones that he was looking
at. Oh, that's what I saw from afar, is the salami.
And that's one of the cool, you look at the accessories on this one. He's got the salami nunchucks. He's got a box of donuts. Leonardo comes with the broken ooze canister. Raphael's got a pizza. I mean, just cool, fun accessories, man. So
I don't think you can go wrong with either one of these. And since you can find the other ones in the stores right now, I would just probably go after the Secret of the Ooze if you didn't have the Gary Rickelman Michelangelo, as we're gonna call it, because we don't know exactly what it is.
It's cartoon style.
But
here it is, right here. It was the 2012. It was the Classic Collection. So it's the same. Yep, same Classic Collection. The same thing. It must have been with the first movie, like you're talking about. That's got to be that one. Now, they come with a cool, like a sewer base, which I thought was pretty cool. That one did.
This don't look like the movie at all.
No, it's not.
No, it wasn't supposed to be from the movie. It just, they released it in a larger scale.
Okay.
And there, that was the card that these ones came on. They were like the original
card. Oh, it's
card.
Like a vintage card.
Yeah. Yep. Like the original 88 cards.
Yeah.
They were just bigger. So, but I've got to get the other three of those to complete that set. And that would be kind of a cool shelf. The two waves of those together.
Beautiful. So. Beautiful. I mean, I'm not a huge Turtles fan. I did play with Turtles, though, at the end of getting out of toys. So I still really like the Turtles. Seeing this Donatello out of the package will probably make me, if I'm at Walmart and I see them hanging, I'll probably end up picking them up because I like them.
So, like I said, I was pretty excited. good deal for me, and I'm anxious to get them all opened up and get them all set up. And well, it's funny, I really want to go back and watch the movie now, because there's a couple of these accessories that are going to pop up and I'll go, oh, that's where that came from. You know,
I remember fighting with a mop.
Right. Well, I remember the salami nunchucks.
Yep.
So it'd be fun to go back and watch that and then pick up where they got those. Action figure guys, straighten these out. Is this one of those drop them in hot water or
hair dryer?
Normally if you drop it in hot water, or like I boil it and then just let it sit for a bit and then drop it in 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Normally it'll snap right back to the molded position.
Oh, cool. I may have to boil up some turtles before my macaroni for dinner tonight.
You're going to be making turtle soup?
But
yeah. Shredder. Tonight so, I died on turtle soup.
I did. Kyle hooked me up too with one of the Marvel Legends 3-packs I've been after. Marvel Girl, Cap, and Radioactive Man.
The best Marvel. It's not Marvel Girl, it's Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel, excuse me. And I love that Radioactive Man. Obviously, he's a pretty unknown character, but a fun figure. So I was able to pick that up. But
his emblem on his chest glows in the dark.
Nice.
Yeah.
And he's translucent green, too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's home. That's what I got. What'd you grab, Steve?
That's it. Well, we already talked about the Iron Man helmet.
Yeah, because I just couldn't wait.
It's really cool. There is, however, that scuff mark.
That paint on the back.
You're right there? Is that what
it
you
looks,
guys were seeing?
Yeah, it looks yep. like they retouched it.
Yeah, sold as is, no returns.
Like
so. But yeah, this thing is cool. I'm glad.
Is that going to go up on the shelf next to the old Stormtrooper helmet?
Yep. It's going to, you know, I don't buy these to wear as much as I buy just to have them sitting up. They look cool. Right. So I would like to see a War Machine. That'd be awesome.
Buy another one, paint it.
I could.
But I would say you have that technology.
I do. But I don't know, for that price, I'll probably just see if they make one before I go messing around on it. What else did I get? Oh.
You carried a ton of shit out. I sold a bunch of stuff yesterday, and there was more in the Jeep coming home than when we left. So, I mean, I sold like two complete waves of Marvel Legends. I mean, I sold some actual space, man. So, these things are ridiculous.
Joe Teague hooked me up.
They're so fun.
So thanks, Joe, if you're listening.
They look like they're straight out of Tappers of Grayskull.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? A little bit exaggerated, a little bit cartoony, and
they do. I've got the Loyal Subjects here, 2016 exclusive He-Man edition or He-Man Glow in the Dark edition. So, suck it, Gary. You were on Facebook bragging. You'd be like, "Hey, Steve, look what I got." Well, I got them too. All right, and they're cool.
Cost him twice as much in a hand job, but he's got them.
No, Joe actually hooked me up with a great deal. He didn't charge me any more than cost on these. So that was awesome. So, man, I'm getting texts. I guess probably should unplug this.
I just put it on silent.
Oh, I could do that. I mean,
it's crazy.
All right, so we got He-Man, Manny Faces, Skeletor, and Triclops. All with glow-in-the-dark stuff. There's a variant with the Manny Faces. I think you can get him in Monster with his monster face showing or the robot face showing.
Also, the head doesn't spin.
I don't know if the head spins. I should just open this. They
You plan on opening those?
Well, it looks like they're giving you resealable packaging.
Oh, cool.
So why wouldn't I find out?
It's taped on the top, it looks like, though.
Oh, it is. I just get a little piece of scotch tape.
A little smidge.
But I'm trying to get my... So you can tell if these are sealed, I guess. If the tape has been messed with. So I just dropped a knife.
And stabbed himself in the thigh. I'm bleeding profusely, but the show must go on.
The show must go on.
It was dull.
All right, pulling Manny Faces out.
Kind of look like it can spin.
It kind of does. But these are in the package pretty good. Now, the exclusives are not in blind bags, so that's one difference from the main line other than... Okay, so... Oh, yep, it does spin. We've got regular old Manny Faces, and we got robot. Nice. Because Joe, when he was showing these to me, he had... one Manny Faces in the package was robot. The other one was monster. So I guess for those guys who like to leave them in the package, there were...
So it's one of those where it's like you get the Marvel Legends 3.75-inch, the variant beast, and he's upside down. And once you open it, like, he's not the variant anymore because right. He's no longer upside down in the package.
Right.
Can I ask you what these run?
The exclusives, he said, were $16 a piece. Okay.
I mean, Pearson is so into the Tappers of Grayskull and loves these. I mean, these would be awesome for him, but, man, $16 a piece is steep.
Yeah.
I would get some. I'm not going to collect them all. They're really cool. I wish the price point was, like, more like $8. I mean.
Well, like, especially on the blind bag ones, it's like.
Yeah.
I can't do that. That's. throwing away money to me.
Yeah.
Unless you buy them already open, but then...
I would rather do that, though. I would get a few of the ones I want.
Right.
Pay a little more.
Pay a premium for them and know eBay. You're getting what you get.
You're getting what you get. Like, you know, like Fisto's my favorite character from He-Man. If they make a Fisto, I would get that Fisto. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anyways, these are cool, though. And
yeah, I saw that. I was kind of there for the hookup, man. That was kind of cool. It's so cool when you've got friends. I mean, obviously, a lot of them, but, you know, like yesterday, Joe, Kyle with me, you know, that stuff that you're looking for and, you know, where everybody's always looking out. And I mean, not 2 days goes by where one of us in our group text has a text and go, hey, does anybody need this? Hey, so, such and such has got this. Anybody need one? I'll grab it.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
It's cool that we are able to help out, take care of each other that way and, you know, help feed each other's addictions.
It is a network and it is a double-edged sword because it's like, okay, well, if these weren't so easy for me to get like they were yesterday, they're right in front of me. I probably wouldn't have spent that money, but it's still very cool. I'm glad it's the way it is other than the other way, and because it makes everything just much more fun. So that was a great score for me. Also, he sold me, and you guys have both seen these. He gave me three of his doubles, sold me three of his doubles. So that's from the actual blind bag, so I got Triclops, Stratos, and Man at Arms, and so that was fun. On to the biggest thing I got, which this was something I've had in the works for a while, with Jason Boonstra, friend of ours, Kyle's partner in crime when they do their Tosche Station setup at these shows. A vintage. See, my collecting habits are really changing to basically Star Wars, Black 6-inch, Mythic Legions, and vintage. It's really what it's turning into now.
Vintage what?
Vintage He-Man and G.I. Joe. That's basically, I'm scaling back, doing less Legends for sure. If there's a great character that comes out, I'm going to get a Legend, but I'm not going to make sure I get every Legend that comes out with it, like I've been doing in the last couple of years, probably. Can't keep up, and there's too many characters I don't care about, so I don't display them. I throw them in a box. There's no point. So it just the money and the space problem. So I'm changing a little bit. So, and I've been really obsessed with the He-Man box art on He-Man and stuff. So I was able to score a King Randor carded, unpunched, beautiful piece. Randor is a hard one to get loose. Well, he's a hard, he's probably, I don't know if he's hard to get carded, but he's definitely hard to get loose. You find him all the time. He's missing his cape, and his nose is always scraped off, much like Beastman for some reason. And he's just never in very good shape. So I got, this is the only Randor I have in my collection. I don't have a loose example. So anyways, Jason hooked me up with this. I had a deal with him working for a long time, and I'm excited because that stuff is really why I got back into toy collecting to begin with, is that vintage nostalgic feel, and I'm really delving back into that lately. Probably Justin's influence on that. When I go to Justin's toy room and I see his vintage, all that vintage stuff, I just love it. Justice Curry, for those of you who don't know.
$1.99 is not a bad price either. That's awesome.
Yep.
He has a cloth cape on him.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You oh, he's got that? A power punch twist waist, too.
They all do. That's so funny. How they,
that's awesome.
Like, he's at the end of the line, one of the later figures, and they're still advertising the spring-loaded waist that they've had since the very first He-Man.
It's not a cape. It's a cloak.
Oh.
So.
I thought a cloak doesn't have a hood. It doesn't have a hood. It's not a cloak.
It says cloak. I'm just reading the reading the directions. So.
The card's in pretty good shape, isn't it?
It appears to be, yeah. There's a little bit of a
ripple to it, but wow. Those He-Man ones always seem to do that.
But shit, it was made in 1986. thing's almost as old as I am, you know? Not nearly as old as Kyle, but almost as old as I am.
Oh. So,
for ages 5 and over.
Kyle was in his 30s when that came out.
Oh.
The other thing is I was able to get a cheap Cobra Trooper to add to my legion of Cobra Troopers.
How many is that now?
I think I'm up to like 16.
What are you shooting for?
50.
50?
And I don't care how long it takes me to get there.
At $30 a piece?
No. Well, not that much. They have been. If you get a minty looking one with his rifle and everything, yeah, they can go that high. I didn't spend that yesterday. I tried to spend that. One guy had a really nice one. He was asking $35 for it, and I offered him $30, and he wouldn't budge. He had it.
Took that $35 trooper home with him, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And I went two tables down, and I bought a one for $20 that had a weapons pack rifle, but that doesn't bother me. I'm army building, so I don't care. So I was happy to do that. So that was pretty much it. Chris, did you get anything this week?
My Black Friday things showed up. My Wily Kit and Cat. Thunder
oh, Cats. Yes.
Hordak. I bought a Hordak.
You did?
Buzzsaw Hordak.
Okay, cool.
My first Masters.
Aw, nice.
Since getting out of them a long, long time ago. I found another Krennic, Black Series Krennic.
Awesome.
So I picked him up, and I'm going to turn him into a Thrawn.
Awesome. You got a head sculpt for him?
Not yet, but I can get one easy.
They cast them?
Yep. They use the, it's actually the head from the Purple Man, SDCC.
Gotcha.
They use that for him. He looks really good. And, like, the guy I go to, he casts it in blue.
Oh, cool.
So it would be a good base for it.
Right. Awesome. Did you get in on the Super 7?
I ordered 3. I bought a Tila He-Man Skeletor.
Nice.
And I wish I would have got the... Because when I did Maddie Collector, they still had Battle Cat. And I wish I would have grabbed one, but I didn't. And it sold out right after I went back to go get it. I was like, damn it.
Well, Travis has got a few.
Battle Cat?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to get one.
So, and Travis has a weak spot, and it's called customs, to get him to give you stuff. Yeah. So,
well, I will work for figures.
So. So, all right. Sounds like we had a great time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
TVs, movies, and trailers, we got anything to talk about? I got a little something, but...
You want to do what are we reading first?
Sure. I don't have an outline in front of me, yeah, so we can do what are you reading.
Yeah. What are you reading, Steve?
Oh, man. I did not read The Old Man Logan you gave me. And the reason I haven't is because this guy hired me to do some artwork for him.
Yes,
and
he did.
I have been working my ass off on it to try to get
guy.
It done.
Nice guy.
To beat
Big Schwanz.
Christmas. So yeah. I have not read much. I can't think if I've read anything since I was last here. I don't think I did.
You reading anything, Chris?
I actually read the new Venom number 1 last night.
And?
Venom is going back to a bad guy.
Nice.
The symbiote jumped hosts again. Like, I don't know where he was before, but, like, Flash Thompson, was it still...
It was still Agent Venom, wasn't it?
The Space Knight.
That was still Flash, I think.
In Galaxy of the Guardians?
I think that was still Flash.
Yeah. Okay, well...
I thought so.
Symbiote left him. I don't know how he got it or anything, but I heard Venom was going bad again, so I picked it up. And it's a decent story. It had Matt Gargan in it, who already had him, but then he disappeared for some reason. Hmm. He was like halfway through the story, and then when the dude actually got the symbiote, there was no Gargan anymore. He like left. It was kind of weird to me.
Huh.
But, like, he's, like, suppressing the symbiote because the symbiote is trying to be good. But, like, the guy didn't... I don't know. It's weird. It's like, the first books. It's, like, next issue. They'll to explain it a little bit better. But
how's the art?
Good.
Good?
Symbiote is awesome. I like how he's drawn. I don't know who drew it, but it looks pretty sweet.
Nice. Does he look like classic Venom now again, kind of?
Kind of. He's He's got like white lines up his fingers, and there's a line that goes to his elbow, and there's like a spike there where it ends.
Huh.
But the face is still the same. His chest logo is a lot more like Agent Venom's.
Okay.
But big, he's real. I gotta have a big Venom, like muscular.
Yeah,
like,
he should be, in my opinion, too. So, Pete?
Awesome. Yeah, I read a little bit. Trade number one would be issues 1 through 6 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Coulson protocols. I love Phil Coulson. And no matter what I try to do, I love Phil Coulson and everything that he does. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the book, the movies, I love Agent Coulson. A very fun read. You know, some characters that I don't necessarily know a lot about. But I'm learning, you know. So it was fun. Some good twists and turns. Good art. This is a Guggenheim and Peralta book. I still struggle a little bit with the whole Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement Logistics Division, because you can tell when somebody has something that they turn into an acronym, and versus when somebody has something they want to make an acronym out of. You know what I mean? Somebody was like, we should call it S.H.I.E.L.D. What can we make that be?
Right.
And then there was 8 people in a room for a week coming up with that. So it's a little bit of a mouthful, but I enjoyed it. The other Marvel book I read, Soul is writing, I want to say it was The Uncanny Inhumans that Travis talked about last episode. Mm-hmm. He's also doing the new Daredevil and straight up killing it. This new Daredevil book was awesome. Issues 1 through 5, Charles Soule. Garney is the artist. A ton of fun. It's called Chinatown. They did a great job, in my opinion, of keeping kind of the ambiance of the Netflix series and then, you know, into a book. It doesn't carry over, but it's in that vein. So I have a feeling this book is going to be very, very well received by a ton of people, because there are a lot of people that may love the show that have never read a comic, and this is the one that'll have them cross it over. Yeah. You know, he has a sidekick or a guy he's kind of training in this called Blindspot.
Kind of looks like Gambit. Is that
yeah.
The guy there?
Yep. And he actually invented a technology to make himself invisible, and it's awesome. It's a great story. The interaction is great. Dialogue. There's the new villain is Ten Fingers. And he has 10 fingers on each hand. I'd never heard of him. He might not be a new villain in the world of Daredevil, but he was new to me. And he has a church, and like his lieutenants have 8 fingers, and it's an AIM Hydra crossover thing. It's good, man.
Sounds like somebody was a Princess of the Bride fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed
Princess
it. Princess
Bride. Yeah.
Yeah. Princess Bride.
Yes.
I see you have 6 fingers on your right hand. Someone's been looking for you.
Wolverine in a suit in this S.H.I.E.L.D. protocols.
If you like that, you need to read that book.
If I like this picture?
If you like the fact that Wolverine's in it, you need to read that book.
Well, you should read Death of Wolverine, too. He's in a suit. Most of that, I think.
Really? Yeah. It just strikes me funny.
In that book, Wolverine's dead.
So, okay. Wolverine is dead.
Right. So you need to read that book.
Okay.
So the last one I read is actually a Image. And it's called Nailbiter. One of the things that struck me about this is I like to read what other authors and other artists write about each other. Because if I like somebody's writing, I tend to like who they like. You kind of get in that same vein. Scott Snyder wrote Severed. He's done some Batman, American Vampire. He's done a ton of great stuff. The writer of this is Josh Williamson. And what Scott Snyder said about him is, if Josh died, I wish he'd leave Nailbiter to me in his will so I could say it was my idea. And I mean, what a cool compliment coming from another writer. The premise of this story is there's a town in Oregon, a little no-name town, and there's been like 16 serial killers of the most notorious serial killers that have been born and raised there. So there's this like Is this town, for some reason, does it make people weird or whatever? Well, there's a serial killer who they nicknamed the Nailbiter, who ends up getting off and moves back to this town and is kind of like a recluse hermit and nobody wants him there. And it's just, it's really neat. It's kind of cool. So there's actually five trades deep. So this is not a new book. But like I said, I read the first one and I'm hooked on it. So I ordered 2, 3, 4, and 5, but so
nice.
But yeah, I found, you know, Travis and I were talking at the show yesterday about the stuff that we have read, had been reading, and he goes, you know what the difference is? I said, what? He's like, we put our iPads down. And that's exactly it. It's so easy to sit there in He-Man, Tappers of Grayskull, then over to Clash Royale, open up my crowns, get my 10, open them up, do that. And then it's okay, well, then you move on to the next thing, where I used to sit and I would read in that time. So I've been taking days off my iPad and just reading and really enjoying it. So
cool.
Like the tag on that, there will be blood. Isn't that like a Saw tagline or
something? I think so. Yep. So.
But speaking of Tappers of the Grayskull, this morning I unlocked Fisto, my favorite Masters character.
Yes!
If I don't play anymore, I'm good. I made it. I made it to Fisto.
What is the highest one you can get?
I think Randor. I think. He's one of the higher ones. There's Fisto. The next one I would get would be Stondar from the Rock Warriors. And then I know there's a Randor. I know there's more in there, but I can't seem to remember who they are. Oh, Queen Marlena. I think she, He-Man's mom, I think she is actually the last one that you can get. You looking right now, yeah. Pete? Pete's doing research for Tappers of Grayskull.
So I've gotten to Buzz Off. I've gotten the Goddess maybe once. I've never gotten the Sorceress. She-Ra, Fisto. Wow, that's not very much further than where I'm at.
I know, but there's a lot of letters.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know.
In between
Stondar, King Randor, Roboto.
Oh.
And then Queen Marlena.
I would like to see Roboto. That'd be fun.
There's no way that I will ever just waste enough time to make that happen. Cuz all that is it's just a time suck. That's all that is.
It is. It's ridiculous.
You know, and it's, and like I said, I literally like was not doing other things that I would should or rather be
I have
doing.
Driven places, okay?
Just running your finger on it.
Just hold one hand on the wheel, not even looking at my phone, just sitting there, just moving my thumb, just driving along, not distracted. Nope, because I'm not even looking at my phone. I'm just tapping.
That is pathetic.
It is pathetic. It's ridiculous. So, all right, now, I want to talk a little bit about the advertising machine that is Rogue One right now. My daughters got the Disney Channel on all the time. They're watching all kinds of those stupid shows. Casey Undercover and the one where the girl plays a double part. I don't remember. And it seems like every commercial break is a focus on Rogue One, whether or not it's a quick teaser trailer or it's those kids that run around and interview the people that are in it, or there's just always a TV spot on that non-stop. It is, they're really, really marketing to the young kids for this. They did the same thing with Rogue One. It seems to be more on this one to me, if I were to be honest, but you've been seeing a lot on TV, Chris, or have you watched
a lot of TV at all?
Okay.
I watch my shows online pretty much.
Okay. And I do as well, which is, but my kids watch the Disney, and so I'm walking through the living room and whatnot, and it's just like Rogue One, so then it gets my attention, which is great. I think that is fantastic because we do need to get the younger crowd into Star Wars to fuel this machine so I can have more Star Wars.
There's a lot of things we need to get younger people to do. Getting them interested in the Star Wars franchise is about 148th on the list. Like, we should probably start with respect, discipline,
right,
work ethic.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
None of that gets me more Star Wars.
You know, so
none of that gets me more Star Wars or Star Wars toys or anything like that. So, right.
Yeah. You're the downfall of Western civilization.
It's your
fault we have millennials.
It's my fault.
Because you want Star Wars.
I think you are one, actually.
I'm not.
81 is what year were you born?
I was born 83.
You're so a millennial.
No.
I'm at the cutoff. I'm at the last of Generation X.
According to
like
one
five out of the
source.
Six.
No, that's not true.
I looked at like three or four of them, buddy.
You looked at the wrong ones.
You're a millennial.
So I'm not a millennial. And if I, by definition, am a millennial, like chronologically, yes. But I work my ass off, and I don't expect things to be handed to me. I've hired millennials in more than one type of job, and they're fucking useless. Like, it's, well, wait, what do you mean? Like, I thought this was like a 6 hour a week thing. Like, I just sat in this chair, and no, you actually have to do something. You don't get everything handed to you. You don't get rewarded for just showing up. This is bullshit. This is all those ribbons you got as a kid. Like, hey, here's your participation ribbon. That's what's wrong with today's society. All of these teachers in the elementary schools. Oh, come on, friends. It's time to go down to art. No, they're not your friends. They're your fucking students. You need to stand up and go, hey, you need to have, you know, hey, guess what? Dress like a teacher. Okay. Jeans and a t-shirt. It's not a teacher. You have a professional job. You've got a degree. You need to show up dressed like a teacher. When I was a kid, a man that was a teacher, he wore a shirt and a tie and dress slacks. And then every 2 weeks on payday, they gave $5 to the United Way and they got to do dress down. That was polos and a khaki. Okay? Polo khakis. Now, sometimes they wear a polo and khakis on a normal day. Now dress down is like fucking sandals and a Hawaiian shirt. You know what I mean? It's like, these aren't your friends, man. We need to reestablish that. You need to respect the generation ahead of you and respect your elders. And you need to work and you need to earn what you're given, not just given it. It's an instant society and everything's right now. Oh, I'm starving. Well, 30 seconds later, you got a full meal out of the microwave. You know what I mean? Oh, I want to buy this. I got to have it. You don't have to go out to the store and find it and get lucky. You just boop, boop on your phone and it shows up next day, delivered by a fucking drone from Amazon. You know what I mean? Our society's falling apart, and I'm so glad Trump Pence 16. We're gonna fix it. We're gonna make great. We're gonna make great America great again.
Trump's gonna fix it,
dude. He hasn't even officially taken presidency yet, and he's already taken out Fidel Castro and Florence Henderson. Right. This guy's a fucking winner, man. Jesus, he's a winner. Okay, yes, Obama got Bin Laden. He took care of Carol Brady. Thank fucking goodness.
God.
Trump Pence 16.
Anyways, I'm so excited about Rogue One. I want to get back to it. Although I do have to say right now, why in the hell do stormtroopers bother wearing armor? I don't get it. I was talking to Chris a little bit about this on the way here. And if you watch those TV spots, notice how Jyn Erso, she's 5'3". She probably weighs 110. And she can hit she can elbow a stormtrooper in the face, and he falls down. He doesn't get up. What? Seriously? If you're wearing a football helmet and a grown big man, okay, let's put this in perspective. On the football field, you can get lambasted by a 300-pound linebacker wearing a football helmet. Those guys get up. But
sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Many times.
No, I'm only making $4 million a year, and we got to have more concussion protocols. We need to make safer rules.
Yeah. So.
You know what they need to do? They need to pay me more money and make fire less hot, Chris. Well, let's do that.
Also, is there padding in that armor?
Why? What other purpose is there to wear that armor unless it's for protection?
If you're taking an elbow to the face, you've got an area, a surface area of an elbow to your cheekbone.
I'm just imagining right? You with that Iron Man. taking an elbow to the face.
Now, when you're wearing a stormtrooper helmet, now what happens is that concussive force is spread out amongst your entire face. So yeah, you get hit and it's going to hurt your entire face instead of just the spot that would be localized to the elbow. I get it.
I can see the stormtrooper taking a step back and giving her a chance to then shoot him and finish him, or for him to even fall down. At one point, and most of the time she's fighting with this, like, it looks like a police baton. But what point is it to wear that armor unless it's for protection? It doesn't seem to protect damn thing.
Well, if it's a police baton, they're probably only hitting the TIE fighter pilots with it.
Jesus.
Trump Pence 16.
Yeah, whatever. So I just I wish, you know, and it doesn't have anything to do with it being Jyn either. Even the guy with the stick, the guy that maybe can use the force or whatever, he's whacking people with a stick. Well, if they're wearing, if you If you're medieval and you had a suit of armor, you could knock somebody in the club and it's not going to finish him.
Ewoks.
Ewoks what?
Ewoks taking out stormtroopers with sticks and rocks. It's always been like that. Stormtroopers are fodder.
Yeah, but they at least threw a rock at them.
I think it's such a big thing now because they're like, when they get blown back, they go flying in the air now. They never used to do that before. You know, they just run into a door, hit their helmet on it, and fall over.
I cannot believe, of all of the things that encompass the Star Wars universe, that is what just chaps your ass.
It's just
and
because
it always comes back to a woman.
There's no fear factor.
Right.
There's no fear factor.
Women need, you know what? Women need to be like more like Princess Leia. Just sleeping around the whole universe and then just getting rid of their kids and not taking any responsibility for their actions.
That's not true. It doesn't have anything to do with her being a woman. Like I said, the guy with
except
the,
for
the
you
guy with
specifically
the
said this little girl. She's only 5'3".
Yes, true.
Can't weigh but.
And then I mentioned the guy with the stick,
soaking wet with rocks in her pockets.
And then
and
I
she's
mentioned
just taking out these stormtroopers with just one elbow.
That's
what she said.
It's out of hand. I loved one thing. I loved about the First Order in Force Awakens is they made them look like they made them stormtroopers look dangerous. I mean, look at the one that fought Finn. You know,
traitor.
Yeah, that was great. So, anyways, I'll get off it, but that's just how I see things now. Still can't wait to see the movie. And
I can't wait till they reboot the original trilogy, Ghostbusters style, and it's all women. It's going to be awesome. A big-ass Wookiee woman, you know what I mean?
It'll probably happen.
Right.
I don't know. All right, anybody else got anything to talk about as far as movies coming up or anything?
Guardians of the Galaxy has a new trailer.
Does it?
Yep.
Oh, I wish we'd have watched that.
Yeah.
Can you put it on? It's on YouTube.
All right, we got the trailer queued up and ready to go. We're going to watch this on the air, and maybe we'll comment during it, but we will definitely comment after it.
Chris, how we normally do these, if you've got something you want to say, just give me a signal, and I'll pause it, and we'll talk, and then keep going.
Okay. I've already seen it. So I'd much rather get your guys' reactions. So.
Perfect. And here we go.
The fate of the universe lies on your shoulders. Now, whatever you do,
Drax,
don't push this button. Because that will set off the bomb immediately and we'll all be dead.
Baby Groot?
Now, repeat back what I just said.
Groot?
No! That's the button that will kill everyone! Try again.
Groot.
Mm-hmm.
Groot.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
No!
Your little baby Groot wants to push the button. Oh, there we go. We got some slow-mo walking. Oh, that looks cool. It's the space ships flying around. I love that he's still got his helmet.
I love that helmet. And Gamora is so hot.
Wow. PB Coop.
Does anybody have any tape out there? I want to put some tape over the death button. Nobody has any tape. Not a single person has tape. You have an atomic bomb in your bag. If anybody's going to have tape, it's you. I have to do everything. You are wasting a lot of time. That's a really bad sign.
Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
When I touch someone, I can feel their feelings. You feel love.
Yeah, I guess, I feel a general unselfish love for just about everyone.
No, sexual love.
No, I don't.
For her.
No. You just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret.
Dude, come on. I think you're overreacting a little bit.
You must be so embarrassed.
Oh, my gosh. Drax is like the immature kid in high school that can't handle anything like that with the you know, adult feelings or whatever. That is hilarious. That was like me when they did the sex talk in school. It was like they said penis. That was funny. Okay.
That was released 18 hours ago, and it has over 1.2 million views already.
That looks so fun.
It looks so fun.
I cannot. Wow. That was a movie I already looked forward to, but it has just jumped 10 times. Looks fantastic.
Baby Groot stealing the show.
Oh, yeah.
You think that's still the same? Who is it? Vin Diesel? Yeah, just with an effect on his voice?
Yeah.
Well, let's check it out. We have that technology.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
It would suck.
How are you going to recast Vin Diesel as Groot?
Only because it doesn't sound anything like Vin Diesel right now.
Well, they probably tune it out.
Yeah, but the I don't think Rocket sounds anything like Bradley Cooper either. You know?
No, I'm just saying that Baby Groot sounds nothing like Adult Groot, so you could get a child to do the voice for
right,
this movie.
Right, no, I understand.
I kind of think they should have Vin Diesel do it and just put an effect on his voice, but which is probably what they did, I'm sure. But that is fantastic. And Drax looks hilarious.
I heard James Gunn talking about it, and he said that Drax is going to be one of the more popular roles in it.
Yeah.
He's, like, a lot of the humor with him. I mean, it was good the first time around. Just
he was good the first time. He was more, like I've said before, he was more humorous than badass. Yeah. He got his ass handed to him, it seemed like, a lot. I want to see Drax have some kick-ass moments, too, where he's beating some people up or...
Sure. Yeah, it is Vin Diesel.
Okay.
You know, typically they kind of run cast like in order of importance on IMDb. And you've got Young Ego, which I don't know who that is. Then, of course, Star-Lord, Gamora. Then the fourth one is Sylvester Stallone.
Really?
But with no character name underneath him. Like, is he going to be Sylvester Stallone in the movie? Like, I wonder what they're doing with that.
Probably.
So...
Huh. He must maybe he's a villain.
But Kurt Russell, too. That's his playing his dad, right?
Is it? I haven't heard that.
I think so.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure he was on one of the panels.
Awesome.
At one of the cons.
Awesome. All right.
Oh, you know what? Oh. Kurt Russell plays Ego.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Which, is that his dad? That his dad's name? Ego?
I don't.
But then, because then the but there's like I said, Young Ego is the first character listed, so maybe they might do some flashbacks or something involving Kurt Russell's character, because there's a young version of him as well. So,
all right,
awesome.
What else we got? Anything? We
got a Courtney's box.
Yeah, we got a Courtney's box.
Let's do it.
All right. I'm looking it up. I'm looking at my phone right now. She sent it to me, and she is giving me Jason and the Wheeled Warriors. Familiar with this, Chris?
I have no idea what that is.
You don't know what Jason and the Wheeled Warriors is?
I don't remember it.
Oh, my gosh.
Cartoon?
Search it up there, please, on the screen.
I have to see it, probably. If I saw it, maybe.
There was a cartoon.
What is it?
It's a boy's toy. It was these motor... there was a cartoon. They had these, it seemed like they were plant-based vehicles. It's hard for me to explain. They drove around in these vehicles you would get a vehicle and a character, I believe. I never had any. I always wanted them. I thought they were kick-ass. And I can't believe that you two, well, I can see Pete not knowing these for sure. But I thought... You would, just because of your age.
I don't remember that.
Okay, we've got it.
Jace, then.
It is Jace and the Wheeled Warriors, and we're going to watch the intro to it so that these guys know
All right. What
we're talking about.
Are we recording again?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're good. And here we go. It is playing...
It
will be
ad.
Playing. Yeah, it's hopefully playing there ad. Might be an ad. Jeez, freaking ads. We'll be back. Here we go.
Across the stars to save the universe from the monster minds. Jace searches for his father.
Jace.
He's
got a skunk stripe on his head.
I think I remember that little knight. That little armor thing. Lightning strikes. That 80s music.
Huh?
That 80s music.
Oh, the 80s music is kick-ass. Like a truck with like a plant arm and a buzzsaw. Oh, one could drill underground.
Yeah, like, I never had any of those.
I never had them either. But I always thought they were awesome. Oh, there's like a Merlin guy driving a truck.
Did he just lick his fingers?
Yeah, he licked his fingers and he drew a number one on the screen. Oh, wow, the bad guy's got some bigger vehicles. A little knight.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah.
That's about it.
First time you've ever laid eyes on that, huh, Pete?
That's exactly what happens when there's some sort of a producer who has a son who says, "Dad, I had a bad acid trip last night. This is what I saw." And then they make it into a cartoon.
Well, the cartoon was based on a toy line.
Okay, then they make a toy line. That's ridiculous. There's nothing that is even vaguely familiar to me when it comes to that at all.
But it looks cool, don't it?
No.
No, he says.
I mean, cool in the vein of, He-Man, yes, but not cool in the vein of, like, the realm of real existence.
Says the Turtles fan.
But see, that shit could actually happen. We're not just...
Find attorney.
You're going to end up, though... Again, there's no way that we're ever going to, like, stumble across Eternia, but it is very plausible that somebody spills some sort of biohazard waste that's radioactive and changes turtles into humans. That's much more plausible, much more feasible than He-Man.
And a rat. And a warthog. And there's a guy running around called the Shredder who just happened to get here from Japan.
Anybody can put a bunch of metal spikes on and call themselves the Shredder. Not anybody can go to Eternia and be a magic witch named Orko.
At the same time all this is happening, an alien race from Dimension X comes in with a disembodied brain.
Here's the deal, though.
A pterodrome underground, and they live in the sewers. The only way we can
have... I would have to admit that Dimension X would only be plausible if Eternia was plausible. So, yes, maybe not all facets of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles could be plausible, but there are no facets of He-Man other than half-naked men running around trying to bang their sister, which is against the law here. So...
There's no incest in He-Man.
Him and Teela have a thing.
Teela's not his sister. She-Ra's his sister.
Oh, I'm sorry. She-Ra. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And He-Man never wants to bang his sister. I want He-Man to bang his sister.
Okay, so it wasn't the...
He doesn't want to bang his
sister. It wasn't the producers that were screwed up. It was just you.
It was just me.
I guess that's a little bit better.
When he's on Swiftwind riding her, he's behind her, right behind her. He's got his hands on his hips. It's like, I don't care, man. It's not like you grew up with her, man. You know?
And that makes a difference?
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. If you have two adopted kids that grow up together, the chances of them having an attraction together are way less. Now, if you're real brother and sister and you didn't know each other until you run into each other in your 20s and you're both sexy and got hot bods, there's, you know, it might just be a, you just, you might not be able to withstand that. You know? I mean, that dress she wears, that's pretty short.
Like pink and red?
You know?
Is that what it is? Or white and red?
There's a huge difference if you grew up with them. No comment?
I'm not gonna wax intellectual on the right and or wrong. Like, I'm,
well, it's all
I'm,
wrong.
I'm not gonna sit here and help you justify incest.
I'm not, it's like, wrong. I'm not,
well, yeah, but if they get into their 20s and they've never met each other, there's gonna be a special bond or connection. If they don't know they're related, they could misinterpret those feelings of family as something more sexual. I could see it happening. No, I will not agree with you there. So, and no, I don't think you should be able to like marry your dog or anything down the road either. Like, I don't, all this, that's what gay marriage has done for us. Gay marriage is going to open up all these doors for all this weird shit. Like, I have no problem with the gays, but we need to stop at the gays before it gets out of control.
Wow. Pete, you realize we probably just lost 3/4 of our audience. Yeah.
God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Jeez.
No, I actually am probably one of the few people.
Now he's talking about how the...
Did Trump say that? I saw that on a t-shirt.
No, earlier in the show you were saying Trump's going to fix everything in 16, and now he's saying that there's a problem with the gays. And
I didn't say there was a problem with
the gays. I don't even know if Trump has a problem with the gays. I don't even... I don't who cares?
Know. Trump, Trump has a problem with everything, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So...
Let's get back on the rails here.
Back on the rails.
Back on the rails. You don't have a top five?
I do have a top five.
You do have a top five?
I do have a top five. So.
This is from the last week?
No. This was special for Travis. So this week's top five, again, because Travis couldn't be here, would be the top five careers that I think Travis would excel in if he were to decide to leave his current job. So
okay.
Number one would be florist.
Yeah, you're right.
If you've ever seen, if you follow Travis on Instagram, speaking of the gays, he takes a lot of pride in his flowers, and he does a lot of things. He's actually got a pretty green thumb when it's not brown from being in another dude's ass. So, so florist would be number five on the list. Number four would be interior decorator. And based just solely on Travis's propensity to constantly reorganize his toy room, and he actually lines things up organizationally by character, by genre. Sometimes he does them just solely on character or color. I think that that would easily translate into creating a nice, fun, safe, warm, home-like space for a paying customer. So,
yep, definitely. I agree.
Number three on the list, he would do a great job being the actor in all of the commercials for the before the Weight Watchers program. So everybody could see how well Weight Watchers works.
It's always Travis, and then at the end it's somebody different. I used to look like this.
Yeah.
Now, that's so
he's always the before. He would do great there. Number two would be a traveling motivational speaker for the benefits of bariatric surgery. So basically, he would be employed by the doctor, like Dr. Gluck in Muskegon, would travel, and he would talk to people about bariatric surgery and about the benefits and about, hey, don't do what I did and stay fat. And one of the cool things I always found funny was Dr. Gluck used to fill all three conference rooms at Mercy once a month to do a big seminar, an informational meeting about bariatric surgery, and he would have it professionally catered. And I kind of always thought that was like having a keg at an AA meeting. But so... the number one job for Travis, if he were to leave his current career, is he would make a great nude ass double for Seth Rogen, in the movies where Seth would be comfortable showing his bare ass. Travis would,
I don't know if Travis's ass is good enough.
It's awkward enough and it's pasty and hairy enough to where it really could be a good Seth Rogen ass. I mean, honestly, that would just be kind of like a breaking into the industry, because then, I mean, he could go on to other, you know, weirdly kind of fat with skinny butt stars.
Yeah.
And he could kind of take their place in the event he had to do one that was more hairless. I mean, that could be adapted. So, but he's got kind of a weird, like he's fat without a butt shape. Right. And
well, it looks like his ass crack doesn't go up high enough.
Right.
It's too, like he needs to go up.
Yeah.
It's too short of an ass crack.
It's not proportional to the rest of his body.
Yeah.
So, but again, I, there are a lot of stars that have things like dignity where they wouldn't want their ass on TV.
And Travis has none of that.
So yeah, I think that would be a good, and maybe that's just a side gig on top of being a florist. A lot of those things go hand in hand. You know what I mean? So, but, so yeah, that's my top five for this week.
Good.
So.
All right. So, Pete,
yeah,
take us out.
Huge thanks to Chris Middlecamp for coming in and saving the day, filling the third slot. helping us mix it up in with a little special edition into Courtney's box this week. Appreciate her for doing that and all the help that she does on the backside of the show. Yeah, I said backside, Courtney. No thank you to Kyle for standing us up. No thank you to Joe Crazy Bill or Justin for not even answering your damn phones. A big fuck you to Travis for just totally leaving us hanging today. And a big apology to Jason Wynn for having all of the annoyances of Travis around, but none of the positive help. So we're wrapping up episode 53. Just coming off of a great con. We had a great weekend. We're looking forward to the holiday season. We're also looking forward to breaking into 2017, where we're going to be having our first Comic-Con right here in Muskegon, Michigan. MuskegonCon March 18th at the beautiful Holiday Inn in the newly refurbished downtown Western Avenue in Muskegon. I don't know what shows are coming up other than my own to talk about, and Travis isn't here to do that. So, but we'll be around for sure. Any chance we get, you guys know that. Make sure you hang out with us on Facebook. My wife is going to kill me. At Wife is Killing Me on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us, wifeiskillingme@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out our website, toydomesticviolence.com. Our blogs are on there. Look at our toy review videos. The acronym for My Wife is Going to Kill Me. On YouTube, check us out there. We're actually getting quite a few views on a few of those. And you can appreciate that our acronym is based solely on what we call ourselves and not like Shield in reverse. So, with that, for guest host Chris Middlecamp, for main host Steve Bisciotti, I'm Pete McCarthy. And until next time, we'll be looking for a Scarif Trooper in the toy aisle.